You folks will remember that last Sunday evening we began a study of one of the important words of the Bible. And I'll repeat what I said last Sunday. I'm amazed it took me so long. The word, of course, is the word faith. And that faith is spoken everywhere in the Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, which is where we'll be tonight. The idea and subject of faith begins in Genesis, as Steve read to us, where we are introduced to the beginnings of all things. Faith, the subject of faith, appears again and again throughout Scriptures from that point on, until we get to that last book, where the word faith appears. In Revelation, there the Scripture says that our faith in Jesus is the wellspring and the source of the saints' perseverance. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keeps the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. It's our faith that gives us the perseverance. Now, in quoting Revelation, we're a long way from our subject tonight, which is faith in the Old Testament. But we began, as Steve read to us just a while ago, that he, that is Abram, believed in the Lord, and he, Yahweh, reckoned it to him as righteousness. The first time faith appears in Scripture, it's right there. Yes, this is the beginnings. Abraham is still called Abram, the name given to him by his father, Terah. Then by faith, Abram becomes Abraham, the father of many nations. Faith did this. Now, this is how faith begins. God speaks, and in the living Word of God creates faith in the human heart. The promises of the Old Testament are full of such. God speaks and men and women respond in faith. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, as Paul would say it in the New Testament era. God speaks, and faith is born in the human heart. You read the narratives of the patriarchs. More often than not, it's God who invites the ancient fathers into a covenant relationship with himself. He comes to them and he speaks to them. And it is the saints who respond in faith. It is the word of God that creates faith in the human heart. Sometimes faith comes in response to God's mighty acts in behalf of his people. And when Israel saw the great power of the Lord which he used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Has God, in the course of your life, done something good in your behalf? Look back on it. Remember it. Revel in it. And let that good thing that God has done for you in the past increase your faith. He has not changed. And the saints of old looked back at what God had done there at the Red Sea, and they believed in God and in Moses. So I would say, dig up those things, those sweet things that God has done for you. And your faith will increase. Now, Nathan the prophet announced the Lord promised to David. And you remember the Davidic covenant. And David's response was telling. The word is not, faith is not used in the text right there with David, but it's there. This is what David says in reply to what God promised David about his descendants and the coming of the Messiah. Now, therefore, may it please the Lord to bless the house of thy servant. This is David's words. That it may continue before thee forever. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken. And with thy blessings, may the house of thy servant be blessed forever. He responded in faith at the word of God. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now the promises of God are intended to boost and create faith in our heart. He who has promised is faithful. The question is, will we respond to God's faithfulness with faith towards Him? Sometimes faith rises in the hearts of God's people via the worship literature of the Bible, where the saints read of the faith of the psalmist singing and praising God. The author of Psalm 119, because of faith, longed to be taught of God. True knowledge of God and good discernment was the result of such longings, creating faith again and again in the hearts of the saints. The psalmist 119 says, "Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments." And as God teaches us day in and day out, faith rises in our hearts and new longings are created in us to know him even more. And as he reveals himself to us, new faith is created. It is a blessed circle. When the psalmist sang of God's love and care for his people, faith was surely the result. How often has it been when you and I sing the great hymns of the faith? That's kind of nice that our hymnal says that. When we sing those hymns, how often has it been that faith has risen in our hearts? Has that happened to you here? I'm confident to say probably to everyone here, there have been times just singing a hymn blesses you, and faith rises. Faith rises even as we enter a service with doubts and discouragement. The hymnal is a mighty weapon in the arsenal of faith. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Just reading the words, faith rises in your heart. So I just say this tonight, sing a hymn and fight the devil. Your faith will rise in the midst of it. Now, the ancient psalmist, in essence, wrote calling the saints to faith. How often have the wavering and timid saint experienced faith rising during times of worship? And it is here that the modern church, when we sing, it's no small thing that the modern church joins hands with the ancient people of Israel. Singing. We sing, "My faith looks up to thee. Fade, fade each earthly joy. Jesus is mine." Faith is the victory. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. These are words of faith, songs of faith. And as we sing these things, we join hands with people way, way before us. In Psalm 78, the saints of old are challenged by a negative example to not repeat their forefathers' faithlessness. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 178. "Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation, were warned not to join those fellows. And they did not believe in his wondrous works. Don't join those fellows. For their heart was not steadfast towards God. Don't join those fellows. Nor were they faithful in God's covenant. Don't join those faithless fellows." So sing a hymn. Now, we spoke recently of Jonah and the repentance of the foreign city of Nineveh. Here, Israel is called to jealousy by the faith of a heathen nation. Then Jonah began to go through the city one day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. And should we not speak of the prophets of old? Isaiah the prophet spoke of mighty days of faith coming to the nation and the challenge of faith that those days would bring. And the prophet Isaiah proposed a powerful question. And he's speaking of the gospel days, the days of Jesus. This is the question he proposed. Who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a testing stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, firmly placed, and he who believes in it will not be disturbed. The prophet Isaiah saw far off days, the days of Jesus, where the people of God would be presented with the greatest challenge ever presented to Israel. Greater than standing there before the Red Sea with the Egyptians chasing. The challenge was, would they accept Jesus, God's Son? The greatest challenge of all was presented in those days in the first century. Would they respond in faith at the appearance of God's Son, Jesus of Nazareth? Isaiah, speaking of the gospel day, said the Lord would lay bare his arm and make public his very strength and might in sending his Son. The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of God. This is what happened at the appearance of Jesus. It just bears repeating again and again. Isaiah speaks of our own days and the reception that the great evangelical message might receive in the earth at God sending his Son. God lays bare his holy arm, his very strength and might and love and everything that he is bared with the sending of his Son. How would men respond? Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, I would not be wrong at this point. Pardon me, I would be wrong at this point to not mention Hebrews chapter 11. It is a brief and powerful exposition of faith as it works in the Old Testament era. I don't think anybody can do better. And so I'm just going to read it to you, and we have the time here, and I just hope that the good word of God speaks to your heart. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up that he should not see death, and he was not found because God took him. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, this is a truism, by the way, it's a little truism. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. In fact, I just want to stop there. When you first came to Christ, did you know where you were going? Not many of us did. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. My goodness, this man could write. By faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. Since she considered him faithful who had promised, therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, as that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who received the promise was offering up his only son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendant shall be called." And he considered that God is able to raise even men from the dead, from which he received him back as a type. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, blessed his sons. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who was unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover with the sprinkling of the blood, so that he was not destroyed with the firstborn. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. The Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, for she had welcomed the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? Time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions and quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead back by way of resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, and they were put to death with the sword. They were went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, ill, being afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. All these have gained approval through their faith. What a mighty word. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And remember the book of Revelation. Herein is the endurance of the saints, even their faith. Now, the race that is set before us is a race of faith. And tonight I'll make no attempt to analyze the text that we just read. But it surely speaks of mighty things concerning the Old Testament age. These were people of faith. I'll only say this. Oh, to find oneself on such a list. The list of the faithful who desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Do you find yourself somewhere in this passage? Will we, when tested like Abraham, respond in faith? The race that is set before us is not won by the wisest, the most clever, the learned. Nor is the race won by those who have the strongest disposition, the most determined. It is not won by the wealthiest or the most powerful among us. No, the race that is set before us is won by those who trust God with their lives. That's it. Settled. Trusting in the Lord is clearly related to the idea of faith. The idea of our trusting, or the opposite, not trusting God, is reflected in the ancient narratives of Scripture. Years and years ago, we used to read Egil Meyer's book, Bible Story Books. Anybody have that book? Well, one of my daughters, who shall not be named, we'd come and reading along, and it would be talking about the children of Israel complaining and bellyaching and disobeying. And Anna would say, "There they go again." Sometimes the negative example is powerful. The author of the letter to the Hebrews saw these great biblical accounts as a call to trust and have faith in God. That's why they're there. So let me close tonight with a simple call to faith as written in Proverbs 3, verse 5. You all know that verse. Can anybody pull it up? I know Billy can. Trust in the Lord. That's right. I knew she could. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. What a powerful word. The passage begins with a summons to have faith in God. Trust in the Lord. It calls us to that. It is a call to trust in the midst of the inexplicable. It is a call to believe when the events of our day are easily misunderstood or hard to explain, when doubts arise and fears dismay. Trust in the Lord and do not lean in on your own understanding. If you try to understand things before you will believe, you will not get far on this path of faith. This proverb is a call to believe when the events of our days are misunderstood. Lord, I don't understand. When trouble and woe brings us to a standstill, have you ever come to a standstill? What happens now? I don't understand. Why did the Lord let this happen? Why did the Lord lead me to this point? I don't understand. That is when our faith can rise. And we lean not on our own understanding, but believe. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart. When trouble and woe brings us to a standstill, trust in the Lord. That's the word for such a moment. In such times, we must bend our hearts to believe, to have faith, not allowing dark thoughts of unbelief to rule in our soul. Unbelief and dark thoughts want to take over your heart. Our hearts are for God and for light, not for darkness and sadness and unbelief. These dark times are a call to trust the Lord in the midst of the inexplicable. It's a call to believe when the events of our days are misunderstood. When trouble and woe brings us to a standstill, trust in the Lord. And the word is the word for such a moment. In such times, we bend our hearts. I tell you, have you ever had to kind of pull your heart over? If we are only willing to follow the Lord when we are understand, we will not walk far with God. The word is to trust and have faith in our God. He Himself is our help in the moments when our path in front of us seems dark and twisted. Faith will express itself in inexplicable and perplexing days, and is at such times that our faith looks up and acknowledging Him who will make our path straight before us. You may say, oh, I don't understand. Everything seems confused. And if you just look up, the path will straighten out before you. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Now, do we not sing of such things? Guide me, Thou, O great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Open now the crystal fountain where the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me through all my journey. Strong deliverer, ever my strength and my shield. And you know, I will just close with this. Just bless me. The phrase, every once in a while, just a phrase will bless you. So then, those who are of the faith of Abraham are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Ah! Isn't that wonderful? It's just Abraham, the believer. Oh, that we'd be called that. right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ancient saints of the Old Testament who were ever examples of faith and sometimes, sadly, examples of unbelief. Lord, but may we learn from these ancient texts and may we walk in faith. And Father, may we just join in singing with the psalmist of old and join with Abraham of old and believe. Father, we would look back to a time when you acted in our behalf. Father, we treasure those moments and we turn to them and we turn them over as a precious jewel. And Father, we ask that faith would rise in our heart. If you cared for us then, you care for us now. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.